Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, in 2007, a Japanese book by a chap called Naoki Higashide was published, called The Reason I Jump. And what was notable about that wasn't just that Naoki was just 12, but also because he was on the autism spectrum and communicated mainly through an alphabet grid. It was subsequently translated into English by the novelist David Mitchell and is now the starting point for a documentary in which a number of young people with autism describe how they see the world. Jerry Rothwell is the director of The Reason I Jump, and he joins us now in News Talk. Afternoon, Jerry.
Hi.
Could you start by telling us a little about Naoki Higashide, the original author of the book that inspired the film?
Yeah, so The Reason I Jump is a book written by a 12-year-old boy. I think he wrote it actually between the ages of 11 and 13. In a Japanese suburb of Tokyo. Naoki is nonverbal autistic. He used a letterboard to communicate and to write this book. The book is kind of a description of, I guess, his own experience of autism. And it takes the form of 58 questions and answers of things he thinks people should know about the way he sees the world. And it describes a very kind of sensory experience, I think.
Yeah. And when you were in the process of planning out the film, you did go to see him.
Yeah, I did go and meet with Naoki in Tokyo. He's now 26 years old. There's a certain amount of skepticism about whether a 12-year-old could have written the Reason I Jump, partly because the method, you know, the use of spelling is controversial with autistic young people. But when I went to meet him, I mean, Naoki typed completely on his own on a computer, unaided. He used the letterboard as well to have a conversation with me, again, completely unaided. And meeting him was a really kind of fascinating experience. You know, he's subject to all of the kind of sensory overload interruptions that non-speaking autistic people often are. And yet within that, he was able to, you know, he's able to kind of slowly type, you know, very poetic, wise answers to my questions.
I'm glad you used the word poetic, because I didn't want to kind of try and romanticize it. But because I do remember when that book came out, and there was a lovely, joyful, kind of poetic way of looking at the world.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think Naoki's writing it at the age of, you know, the age you get to when you sort of realize that the way the world thinks about you is not how you think or how you think of yourself. I think that probably happens to all 12-year-olds. But obviously, if you're non-speaking autistic, maybe that's even a starker contrast. And, you know, he begins perhaps almost wondering. I think he says something like, you know, I used to wonder why I'd ever been born. This way. And by the end of the book, he's kind of saying, if someone could change my autism, I wouldn't want to change it. It's part of me, and it brings me all kinds of things to celebrate. So it's the book is a kind of journey of him sort of coming to terms with himself, but also then kind of enjoying and celebrating himself and the way he sees the world, which is very kind of specific.
Now, he did refrain from appearing in the film, though you do have a young actor portraying him. So in terms of the entire film, how have you structured it?
So the film, when I talked to Naoki about the project, he was kind of, you know, he's up for it happening, but he didn't want it to be a biopic. He didn't want it to be about him or his family. You know, who can blame him? But so that then sort of, it felt like a challenge at the time that he said that, but it sent us out in maybe a much more interesting direction, which was to look at what resonance did the words of this young boy have for other young people around the world. And the film visits four sets of people in four different continents, each of whom is non-verbally autistic, but each in a really different way. You know, I think there's a real danger in generalizing about the autistic experience. You know, it manifests very differently in different people. And I guess because the book was very sort of sensory in its descriptions, and it felt that that was the right way to make the film, to try and take you into a different way of seeing, a way which, you know, as Naoki says, often he'll be immersed in detail before he sees the big picture, before he sees the context of things. So it felt like we could film with these young people in a way that tried to put the audience alongside them in a different way of experiencing the world.
And as I understand it, another issue that you deal with is the perception of time. It's not the same as neurotypical people who think of time as a line.
Yeah, I mean, the way Naoki describes it for him, and again, you know, it's his experience, and to what extent it applies to everyone, we don't know, although it's common in a lot of the writing of non-speaking autistics. He sort of perceives neurotypical people as thinking of the world, of thinking of kind of memory in terms of a line, that we're able to sort of position a memory in time. Whereas the way he experiences it, he describes it as a pool of dots, at which point any dot might rise to the surface with the intensity of a present moment and carry with it the same kind of emotion that it might have had 10, 15 years ago. And one of the young people that we film with, Joss in the UK, we were able to film with him over quite a period of time because he's the son of the producers of the film. And also were able to sort of work with material that they'd filmed with him since he was a baby. And you know, whilst filming with him, Joss would often kind of refer to moments that maybe happened when he was 3 or 4 years old. You know, a particular image, like a Hoover on a swimming pool, I think, was one. Or a moment when kind of he had a particular ice cream. Or, you know, those kinds of memories, which, of course, we all have those sensory memories. But I feel like for Joss, they're very, very kind of present.
Is it too much to say sometimes it can seem like a continuous presence to non-speaking autistic people?
I mean it's like all of this is sort of guesswork, you know, I mean, in a sense. I think we're but I my sense is yes, that a lot of autistic people describe the intensity of kind of memory and of associations. Like Naoki in the book talks about hearing the sound of rain and needing to sort of flick through his different memories of rain in different situations in order to associate that sound with the idea that it's raining. Yeah, it's a very different way of thinking, I think, from the neurotypical, the one that he's describing.
Was there also, did you get a sense of, because I suppose to a certain extent, people on the autism spectrum might seem somewhat mysterious to neurotypical people. Did you get a sense of what people, or at least the four people you feature in the film, how they view the neurotypical world?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, as David Mitchell says in the film, you know, neurotypicals are rubbish at understanding anything that isn't neurotypical. You know, the kind of filters that the neurotypical brain kind of puts up to the world to deal with the sensory deluge that the world is. You know, this is what it seemed to prevent us from understanding certain things. But Naoki, you know, what's one of the things that's fascinating about the book is that he spends a lot of time trying to understand how neurotypicals think. You know, that's his kind of task, is to understand why are these people reacting to me in this bizarre way and doing this stuff that, you know, seems completely counterintuitive to me. So the, quite a lot of the book is him trying to go, oh yeah, I think you must, it's like with the memory thing, you know, I think you must be locating memories in time, but you know, for me that's not like that at all, you know. So I think he's interestingly, you know, that it's the opposite of this idea that autistic people have no theory of mind, you know, can't position themselves empathetically into the mind of another, you know, and it's actually possibly the opposite of that. It's like a hyper empathy, a hyper ability to see the way someone else might be thinking.
And I suppose all those factors occasionally is why people on the spectrum can become overloaded at times.
I think that the you know, what autistic people often report is yes, that feeling of sort of sensory overload and distraction, you know, that certain sounds can be extremely obtrusive, you know, and the world is kind of set out, you know, one of the young people we filmed with was telling me about the impact of him on of hair dryers in public toilets, not hair dryers, hand dryers in public toilets. You know, that there's this sudden sound that's completely unpredictable, that's triggered by, you know, whoever happens to want to dry their hands at that moment, that's incredibly loud. And he found, I think because of its unpredictability, he found that a very unsafe environment to be in. So it's, you know, the world has been structured around and built around the neurotypical, you know, and I hope one of the thoughts of the film is to think about how can we make it more accessible to a wider neurodiverse range of people.
Did any of the people in your film at any point in their life experience any kind of pressure to conform to that world? And I'm thinking particularly of one young girl, Amrit, and her mother is very regretful.
Yeah, there's a point where her mother, I think, talks about feeling that the things Amrit does to fend off that overstimulation, if you like, you know, the what's called stimming, the kind of repetitive actions or behaviours, or you know, not having eye contact, or you know, those things which are often a response to a sensory overload. You know, she sort of regrets trying to. She saw those things as socially awkward, and regrets trying to stop her now that Amrit's an adult and this very fine artist stopped her from being herself. You know, and there are therapies, I think, that are based on that principle, on the idea of trying to make the autistic person socially conform to things that kind of are more kind of socially acceptable to the neurotypical. And I think, you know, actually, I think would be the lesson of the, for me, of the book and hopefully of the film, is that actually we need to embrace people's individuality and their ways of experiencing things and responding to them.
The film is called The Reason I Jump, and in case you're wondering about that, it's also the same title as the book. Naoki's answer to that is, when I'm jumping, it's as if my feelings are going upward to the sky, which is the best possible answer you could think of. Jerry, thanks very much for speaking to us. The film, by the way, is playing in the IFI in Dublin and the QFT in Belfast from today. Jerry Rothwell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.